special time for me, as I remember what a night.
What up, friends? Welcome to another episode of Black Girls Laughing.
Please keep that. It was terrible. I'm so amused with myself. Hi, guys.
Welcome to another episode of Black Girls Laughing. We got Brittany here. And?
B.
And that's it. Hey! We're ready to do this.
I hope you enjoyed my tune, my crooning. Today, I'm very amused with myself.
She's very amused with herself on a lot of different levels. She's up here just like snapping, rewatching her snaps, talking about how great her snaps are. And I'm just like, okay, girl, you're feeling yourself. It's cool.
An Oreo snap bracelet.
Like snapping it right now. That's what that noise is.
I don't think my snaps are the greatest. I've just been so exhausted lately that I just find
you're not pulling a full chance Chelsea Handler.
Oh no,
that hoe thinks her rapping, her terrible ass rapping on Snapchat is like revolutionary, and she brings it up when real rappers and black people are on her show, and they're like, "No, you're not good at rapping. Why are you even saying this to me right now?
Please leave me alone."
But I'm happy that she allows herself to be checked on her show. Like, she said something racist. I don't even know why we're going down this thing. Chelsea Handler has a show and on Netflix, and I sometimes watch it because
that's insane.
Well, there's things about her. We have very similar senses of humor, and I like her style in general. But most of the time, a lot of the time, she can be problematic. And
so 49%.
Yeah, 49% of the time she can be pretty problematic, but at the same time she gets checked after she says something terrible, and that's better than some people. Like, most white people, they'll say something terrible in their stand up without any correction given, and they hope that the correction is implied. She lets people yell at her. Like, she said something racist. And this little kid was like, "That's racist." And she was like, "Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry." Like, she let that happen. But she still sucks.
I still don't like her.
Yeah, most people don't.
There's like a group, like a lumped group. It's Chelsea Handler, Sarah Silverman, Amy Schumer, Lena Dunham.
Bitch. Her show is terrible.
Taylor Swift.
The inner ring of white feminism.
And honestly, like sometimes Amy Poehler and Tina Fey teeter-totter the line for me. I don't not love them.
Tina Fey is the worst. She is the queen of this bullshit. She is why they all get to exist still.
And like, you have awesome fucking people like Maya Rudolph and Kristen Wiig, which like, I feel like you live on like two teams. You're like team Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, or your team Kristen Wiig and Maya Rudolph. I stand hard for Maya Rudolph, number one. And Kristen Wiig is freaking hysterical. So
she is great.
That's my team.
And I'm interested. You know, we talked about the new Ghostbusters in a past episode. We're getting closer to the release date of that.
Yes.
I'm very interested in seeing it. Oh my God, this should be a John. Well, it's going to be a John now because, hey, this is a John. Leslie, what's her last name? Leslie Jones. Leslie Jones.
I thought you were going to say Leslie Nope again.
No, not Leslie Nope. Leslie Jones, the black queen that is on SNL and is going to be one of the four women of the new
Ghostbusters
movie.
And she had Drake sitting on her lap.
Yeah.
It was magical.
She's, follow her on Instagram. It's pretty freaking funny. She's on the cover of Elle this month.
What?
Yeah.
I'll be buying that.
Yeah,
I'll
she's on the cover of Elle. So, like, big ups to her.
I totally like, she's beautiful. To you.
She's got, like, a fantastic look. she's doing it. Like, go Leslie Jones. I need to buy that cover. Chin chin. Yeah, make the noise. That was us clicking glasses to that. We're drinking today on the show.
Yeah.
We had brunch. We had vegan brunch, and now we're rounding it out with lots of mimosas.
Yeah, guys. I had vegan brunch. I know you're all surprised. But it was delicious. That's crimp.
That, it's all about good food in this house.
That hash was on point.
Vegan food can be delicious food. I was really mad. This week, did you listen to The Read? You don't listen to The Read anymore.
I listened to The Read. I finally caught up.
So they were talking, they had like a listener letter this week about this kid who's deciding to be vegetarian, and the mother isn't supporting the child and their quest to be vegetarian now because they love animals and all this stuff. And they were really mean about the little kid. They're like, well, you don't have any money, so your parent doesn't have to like care about that. And I'm like, no, they could figure something out. It's not like it's hard. They were acting like vegetarian food was just like this mystical thing that like you can't crack the code and that meat has to be a part of everything that's ever on a plate. And it's just like, we can crack that code.
You can crack the code. I think it's a not lack of not knowing, because Crystal and Kid Fury said?
Yeah, they were like, I was surprised.
I go back and forth because I see what they mean. Like, you should eat what your parents put in front of you. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, like, it really isn't hard to be. I mean, I'm pretty vegetarian on the weekdays.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I go out is usually when I'll eat meat, and I try not to eat out. So if I have it
at eating vegetarian.
If I have the meat at home, I'm going to eat it, which lately I have, but I think it's just so ingrained in so many cultures that it's weird.
Yeah, that like, meat is a meat, like, you know, a meal. I used to do the exact same way, that a meal wasn't complete unless there was some type of meat involved in it.
I think you just think that until you like take time to do something different or learn something different. But yeah, that is that's a bummer. I mean, the kid honestly could figure it out for himself.
Yeah, I was thinking of like a lot of, I was grocery shopping this morning and I was like thinking, I don't know why it bothered me so much. So I was like thinking about it. I was like, oh, if I were a parent and I was still eating meat and my child came to me and they wanted to be vegetarian and they're like 12 years old, I would give them a little budget and say, hey, you've got, here's $20 from our weekly food, you know, buy a couple of the, you know, supplemental vegetarian things, you know, like your Gardein things, your morning star,
your Boca burgers,
like pick out a couple of those things so you can try it and you can have it with the sides that I'm making with our meat-based meal, and there you go. Like, give it, like, and it's also teaching them how to, like, manage a budget, how to not eat through their budget really fast. Like, you're giving them some tools so they succeed in their life. Especially when you're 12, you're old enough to start having more control over your diet.
Yeah.
But anyway, that was a long-ass tangent.
I mean, if his parents are cooking, if your parents are cooking food every night, like, one, it right there makes it so much easier being vegetarian because it's just like, okay, don't eat the meat things,
mm-hmm,
or the meat products. But that is a bummer. Anyway, we should get back to our show.
Yeah. Back to our show. So the first John was about Leslie Jones.
Yes.
And today, on the day that we are recording, is the day that the news about the Orlando shooting hit social media and the media in general. We've been spending the day just waiting for more news about what happened, figuring out who did it, what's going on, and we just can't live this day and record on this day without, one, taking a moment to think about the people that were lost and paying our respects to them, and sorry that you, to the families and the people that are affected by this. I know that it's far-reaching. It's the largest mass shooting to happen in the United States history, and we've been going through this.
I don't even know if we can actually say the words of how our hearts go out to the 50 that were slain and the 53 that were injured in the shooting at Pulse nightclub in Orlando. And I just want to remind you all that this incident does not exist in a silo. This incident should not trigger more Islamophobia that is already deep-seated and rooted in all of the racist patriarchy BS that exists in this country. And this is not a time to hate or speak words of hate towards any Muslim you know. If anything, this is a moment to hold each other closer and recognize that there are issues that go that have nothing to do with your color. And if anything, this is deep-seated and rooted in homophobia and the gambit that of hatred that plagues the United States against our LGBTQAI. I always try and make sure I get all the letters. Our brothers and sisters and non-gender binary loved ones.
I really feel for my Muslim brothers and sisters in this moment, because it's just another incident that's gonna make life even harder here. And I can't believe that presidential candidates are taking this as a means of making themselves feel like they're right, and the hate that they spew. I'm just flabbergasted that we're doing this again. I mean, how many times does Obama have to do the same speech? How many times? For us to have any type of gun reform, any type of reform, making sure that, I mean, and it just shows that even with the checks and balances that we have, because like he had a registered rifle, like, right? Or maybe like he was a registered security guard, and that despite those checks and balances, like, this could still happen. And it really makes me question why we have assault rifles.
What do you need them for?
I don't know.
Like, I'm very much for gun control. If people want to carry their own personal weapons, sure, whatever. If you go hunting, if you feel safer with being able to have a personal gun, great. An assault rifle, though? Like, what is the necessity? What is that for? What, I except to literally kill people?
I don't know. I just don't know what they're for, and it makes it so tricky because of, like, I understand the right to bear arms in protection of yourself against your government that could turn on you. Like, I do believe that could happen. You know, especially as we go against status quos, as we decide that we don't want to live in a capitalist, sexist, racist society, and as more people band together against the current system, there's going to be clapback. And I understand. I don't know if I want to be able to fight back, but I understand when people are like, I want to be able to fight back at that time. And that's why they're afraid of losing their guns.
Why do you need an AR-15, though? You don't. You don't. Like, Google this gun and look at it. Like, what are you, like, killing other than people with that gun?
Can we just go back in time and not let, like, gun technology get to where it is? Can we not have, drones? Can we not have atomic weapons? Can we not have those things?
Can we so not we can bomb have a our level own
playing field?
Can we not bomb our own city? Can we not? This is not, honestly, guys, the John is going to pretty much suck until our very last bit, because there's so much.
It's just so much terrible. And like, I don't, and like, we're black girls laughing and we want to figure out a way to spin things, like to find some positivity and spread that. But this weekend has been so shitty.
Yeah.
That it's going to be really hard for us. And like, and sometimes you have to sit and reflect in it, and I hope that we can be a source of comfort for you. And we want to be able to keep a conversation going, because that's the only way that we can heal from this, if we can talk and share our feelings and agree, disagree, but respect everyone's opinions.
As long as they aren't like you're Islamophobic or xenophobic or mm-hmm. racist or homophobic or sexist opinions are mm-hmm. not tolerated anywhere near black girls laughing.
Yeah. I mean, I'm ready to have a intelligent discourse
yes.
about gun control, gun reform. But all the other bullshit, it doesn't help us. It's only going to keep us in the past. We won't be moving forward.
So I'm just going to try and keep the shit ball rolling, since the next John isn't too great. So first off, hearts out to everyone in Orlando, because not only the Pulse thing, but I'm sure you've heard Christina Grimmie, a contestant from The Voice, was shot dead at the end of her own concert in Orlando, Florida. Which, like, what is going on? Is it the heat? Like, is the heat making y'all crazy? Like, I'm baffled. She had a performance. It was great. She came out. She was talking to fans. According to someone nearby, an eyewitness said she greeted and hugged her killer before he shot her dead. Her own brother ended up attacking him and getting him away from her, which then the killer then killed himself at that point. Whew, like, what? I don't even know her. I know her from The Voice. But, like, again, this feeds into the larger conversation about gun violence and guns, which feeds into just the huge conversation of just all the systems in this country that just they are broken. They've always been broken. And it's like we should have seen all of this coming. All of it. Mm. Who was there to create? Why weren't we there to create the system? There weren't the right people there.
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense that there's no security at an event like that. Like,
I'm sure there was security. I mean, the police were right there.
Yeah, I just don't.
I feel like it's one of those instances, like, not to bring up old things, but like, almost like someone that you think loves the performer and you wouldn't see it coming, similarly to Selena. Like, someone that got into really close proximity, really excited. He looked like a super fan. He got the opportunity to go up close to her, and then this happened. I don't know. People terrify me. I've seen a lot of friends posting, like, I don't want to leave the house. And I'm both heartbroken by all of that and also, like, agree.
Yeah.
Like, I agree with you. I don't.
No, I mean, they're like.
Want to leave home.
I have a lot of thinking to do because, like, I feel like we have to combat what is going on with some type of positivity, and that there needs to be a campaign for us to remember to be more positive and to help each other.
Yeah.
It's like, we can't just dig our head in the sand. We can't stay in our homes and sit in fear.
No.
We have to go out there and prove to the world that there are still good people, and that good things can prevail more than the straight up evil. Like, there's no other way of describing these two incidents. It's just calling it that it's just pure evil. And we need something. We need to be a force of positivity. We need to take moments to do good. To just fucking do good. Do something for your family. Do something for someone that you see in need. It doesn't need to be a huge gesture. Take time out of your life to be positive.
Literally just saying, how are you? Are you okay today? Do you want to talk about it? How can I be a friend?
And showing sympathy and empathy to people beyond just your close circle.
Yeah.
Being a good neighbor. Knowing everyone. Like, just knowing people. Saying hello to all.
Well,
like, yeah.
Hold each other this... Mm-hmm. This week and all weeks, every day, the more we hold each other in times of not tragedy, the stronger we can all be together, because we're already close-knit. As always, reach out to us if you want to talk to any of us. Send us an email, send us something on Facebook, tweet us, DM us. Whatever, if you want to talk about all the craziness, or if you just want to say I love you, and of course, as always, we love you back.
Yeah.
Okay. This is Black Girls Laughing, however, so used the shitty Johns in the beginning to end on a high note, because no one should end on an absolute low.
Now we're going to just switch gears. We are turning the ship completely around right now. And we're talking about
our girl.
Who's our girl? You know, say her name. Say her name right now. Scream it. Beyonce. Don't hurt yourself.
I was literally about to say the same thing. Who the f- do you think I is?
This past week, we were both blessed.
Way up. I feel blessed.
So, we got to see the Formation World Tour.
Okay, ladies, now let's get in formation.
We got information.
Okay, ladies, now let's get in formation.
With thousands of people.
Prove to me you got some coordination.
And we were blessed.
Slay, trickle, you get eliminated. Listen. I'm just going to... Since this is usually how I start the conversation, this is how I start. How was the concert? Great. I cried 4 times. Just gonna level the playing field with that little known fact. I cried because I knew Formation was coming first, but I just was still so overwhelmed with feeling when I saw the hat. When I saw the hat, I was this is real. This is real life. I can see you. I can not only see you on the screen, I can see you on the physical. I can see your hair. Like, I can see your hair actually blowing in the wind and, like, moving.
Beyonce.
It's Bey. She's there.
The queen has arrived.
She's, you know, bobbing her head up and down.
I was just there just, like, and doing this. I was heart. Doing it, too. I was just like, I'm
ready.
I might not be on stage, but I'm on stage in my mind. I'm right behind you, right on your left shoulder, B. That's me.
I even busted out the I slay. We go slay.
Oh my gosh.
I slay.
So I saw the show in Baltimore.
I saw it here in Philly.
I went with my mama. Thank you, mama, for those tickets. And after the show, I don't know why so many random white men kept on asking, like, was the show good? And we were like, no, it was amazing.
Like,
it wasn't good.
Was the show good? Good?
No, no. Beyonce, the phenomenon graced us and gave us a dissertation on our blackness. She did all of the songs. I felt like it was that whole, the whole set was for the most hardcore Beyonce fans who, like, and it was like all of the songs I feel like black women stand for the most.
Oh, yeah. Like it Bootylicious.
Was all of our songs.
Yeah.
Me, Myself, and I. Like, she went back to, like, the first album. Me, Myself, and
I,
till I got
to the I, like, we were talking about it earlier, and I just looked at Brittany, and I was like, didn't you feel, like, extra proud because you were, like, there and you're black? Mm-hmm. Like, didn't you just be like, this is amazing, it's Beyonce, but also, like, this show's for, like, me. Like, she made this show for, like, this is for black girls like her.
Yeah.
This is for us. Like, other people can enjoy it, sure, but it really is not for you.
I mean, it was like 2% cisgendered men in the audience. Like, like that's the feeling I had. Like, maybe they were like working security, but like there were a few women that brought them tickets, but I felt like it was just like hordes of women and gay men ready to be in love and have a good time. My mom and I were walking these two dudes from Connecticut that were like running late. I got there late. I missed DJ Khaled, and I love DJ Khaled. I'm so sad that I missed that portion.
We taking over. What do you see?
We're like walking, and we saw these dudes, and they're like, "Are you getting information?" We're like, "Clearly, we're getting information." And we all walked together. Didn't see them for the whole concert, and then we all magically like met up again, and we were like, "Connecticut! Connecticut!" And they're like, "Oh shit, how do they know we're from?" And they're like, "Hey girls! Did you love the show?" I'm like, clearly.
Yeah. I went with two friends, and we pretty much just, I feel like for maybe a good quarter of it, we stood there in literal awe. Like, we were singing along and we were dancing, but also we would just look at each other and be like, Is this really happening? Like, is this real life? And my friend Josie and I went and saw the On the Run tour when she was here in Philly.
Okay.
So that wasn't our first Beyonce concert.
Yeah.
I think that might have been Josie's third, and that was my second.
Yeah, this was my third time seeing Beyonce. Fourth time seeing Beyonce. And I saw her once with Destiny's Child.
And you're still, like, dumbfounded by... when people ask me how the concert was, that's how I'm just like, what words in my basic peasant English language do I have to describe the Beyonce concert? I don't have one. I don't. That's it.
It was an experience. She's come up so much. She was reflecting like, this is 19 years. 19 years of her being in the biz. And I've been there with her for all 19 years of it.
She changed the game when that lemonade drop. I loved that change. Yeah,
I did too. I did. I love that.
I was like, well, girl, you changed the game with the visual drop and that lemonade drop.
You changed it every time.
The game.
You just change. You like remix it. You make it new every time. And that's what a great artist does. Wyclef Jean was on an episode of The Gary Vee Show. With some random podcast I listened to. And Gary Vaynerchuk asks Wyclef, like, who is one of like the hardest working people you've ever watched? No, that wasn't the question. The question was like, because he did No, 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 No with Beyonce. And he was like introduced to Destiny's mm-hmm. Child, and he went on tour with them. They opened the show for him. And the thing that impressed him so much about Beyonce is that after the show, after they went on and he went on the stage, he would look to the side and she was sitting there studying what he was doing. Like, all the other girls went to go get a drink of water, change out their clothes, you know, chill after their performance. She stood on the stage and she sat there and she studied the game.
I'm not surprised.
That is good hustle. And that's what we all need to do. Like, no matter what you want to do, you know, hustle beats talent when talent doesn't try.
True.
And
you get that on a shirt.
that needs to be a shirt, right? But like, she has a lot of talent. But you know, but we could arguably say someone might know some singer that's better. Someone might know some dancer that's better. But they ain't there.
They ain't hustling.
They didn't hustle. They didn't make the strides and the moves to be where she is.
They didn't change the game with that lemonade drop.
And she was just so grateful too. I just really loved how her gratitude that she was giving us.
Oh yeah.
Like, I really appreciated that. Because she recognizes that her fans are the reason why she gets to be touring at these stadiums. She gets to have a stadium tour. Most musicians dream about that. And they only get to be in, like, the biggest show they get to do is their high school gym. You know?
Yeah.
She achieved something.
She's...
Few black women performers have had stadium tours.
World tour. Like, every place like, she goes in the world is a stadium.
Like, no. She ain't at the Tweeter Center. She's not in some random, like, basketball court. No, she is at NFL stadiums. 100,000s of people could fit in those spaces. Thousands upon thousands. Sold out shows.
Lincoln Financial Field. Times M&T like 82. Stadium.
Like, it's crazy. And I'm trying to go again. I need to see it again. I need to see it in a different place. I know I'm going to catch new things. It's like the 15 times I watched Lemonade and I saw something new every single damn time. Like, I need to go see this tour again because I know that there was something I missed because I was just in awe. I was just happy to hear the song, but I wasn't able to watch the visuals completely.
Like, did she listen
to all the words?
Did she do something different? Like, did she put up another video behind her that none of us noticed? Because we were all just like, oh, Sorry came on, so I'm going to sing along. When actually there was a whole background meaning of her dropping another album and I missed it.
I know I missed something because I was too busy feeling myself and singing along and hanging out with my friends and just... Because I made friends with all the chicks that were around me.
Of course.
We were all just sitting there waiting for 6 inch heels. We were really upset. B, when I see you again in New Orleans, I know I'm going to be there. Throw that in there for me.
Also,
I know you're listening.
I'm salty that Nicki Minaj was there in Philly and for Meek Mill. And she didn't feel it myself. And she didn't have the audacity to just leave Nicki Minaj in the back. She couldn't come on stage for that one damn song.
No, because that's her night.
Listen. Feeling myself would have been extra magical. As if it wasn't magical enough, but I think I probably would have died of, like, cardiac arrest.
Yeah.
If Nicki Minaj would have come out and they just, like, twerked on each other like they do everywhere else. I want to see. I need to see it.
Yeah. No, like, I know. I've been at lesser concerts and people have surprised showed up and I've lost my mind. I remember I was at the Jamie Foxx concert in Chicago.
What?
And Kanye came out of nowhere to do slow jams and
I ain't saying she a gold
and gold digger. And I was like, what?
Magical. Also, I can't believe we were at a jam. I can believe, but I can't believe that.
Oh,
I don't know. Jamie Foxx on tour just still, like, is weird in my head.
It was a great tour because he did some stand-up and then he did the show. And so it was really cool. And Fantasia opened, and Fantasia was giving us all the life. She brought us to church, heaven, hell, and back again. Like, she did it. She's the one to see live.
Yes.
She takes off her shoes, and she's like, and she just gets real on your asses, and it's beautiful. And
I love
you have a great time.
I love it.
I went there with my mama. Thank you, Nicole Hines, for taking me to concerts.
Now people are going to stalk your mama.
Please don't stalk my mama. Thank you. Thank you, mommy.
Thanks, my bank account. And good friends.
Thanks, my bank account, for when I go to Orlando. Not Orlando.
New Orleans.
New Orleans.
I'm like, what?
When I go to New Orleans, I'm sorry. Orlando's in my mind, so.
I think it's time to move on from the John.
Let's move on from the John. Hey, friends. So I am back with a new You Better Work. And today I'm going to talk about something that has changed my 2016. It's changed my 2016 from a scattered brain all over the place. 900 projects, but I don't know which one to start on next. Crazy Britney of 2015 to the much more organized, ready to handle her all of her different projects, Britney that you see before you today. And that beautiful thing that I started on in early February is bullet journaling, or bujo, or journaling. Just this beautiful system that has helped me so much and has changed my life. So why did I start bullet journaling? So I'm extremely ADD. I am all over the place. I've never been diagnosed as ADD because girls and women have a harder diagnosis rate than boys and men. But I am. I also have way too much stuff that I'm working on at any time. At my job right now, I am working on 4 different programs. I'm building a business. I'm building a podcast. And I also have other creative projects that I'm working on. And then I also have a family and chores and shit that I need to get done. you got to clean your kitchen. You got to clean your bathroom. You got to do a lot of different things. And sometimes they fall out of your awareness. And I tried lots of different things before I found bullet journaling. I used Todoist, Evernote. I went to a Get Things Done seminar where you use your email box as your to-do list and you try to get to inbox 0 every single day. And I ignored all of those things. All of those little tools would send me emails, make a little reminder for me to do something on my to-do list, and I would ignore the shit out of it. It was really hard to get into that habit of looking at that digital reminder. So I was stressed out. I had too much on my freaking plate. Stuff was just falling all over the place, and I just needed help. I was talking to my therapist about different ways. And then my husband, Jordan, your lovely producer of this lovely show, he found out about bullet journaling and he taught me how to do it, and it changed his life. He is very similarly ADD, and was working with this and was trying to find solutions. And I was working for him and I said, why the heck not? So what is bullet journaling? It's a way for you to take all of your thoughts and ideas, and it gives you a system that's very customizable and forgiving and organizing your life. It's just taking a journal, taking a pen, and writing things down. B does it too.
Yes, I am on the bullet journal bandwagon. I've actually written about it before, but that's a story for another day. We can throw a link in here. But Jordan and Brittany were doing it, and I saw Brittany doing it, and I wouldn't say I'm ADD, but I'm someone that has a lot of thoughts all simultaneously, or I'll like go into work or go to do something, and at that moment I'll think of everything I had to do for the whole day, and I had too many to-do lists going on at one time. And I used to be the queen of planners. Like, I would drop a smooth almost $50 on like a really good planner.
Because those things are expensive.
On a really good planner each year. And I'm the type of person where, ooh, if I don't like my handwriting, I'll buy a new planner. Yeah, it's like a problem of mine where like, it started with notes for school where I would just write really sloppy notes in the classroom and then go home and rewrite everything in a handwriting that I could like tolerate looking at. And it's just translated into everything that I write now. But I liked bullet journaling, and I like bullet journaling because it doesn't have the restrictions that a planner does for every day. Mm-hmm. You can create as many lines as you need or want, and you can create the month outline if you want. If you don't want the whole month on one page, you don't have to look at the whole month. You can do it week by week, two weeks.
Let's go into the different elements of bullet journaling. So the first thing that you do once you get a journal is you want to break it. Like, it's, you want to set up a key. A key of like how you want to do bullet journaling. And like the basic form of it is that you take a dot for a task, and then you write the task right next to it. And then once you've completed that task, you can X it out. And if you don't get to that task on that day, you can take it and turn it into an arrow. And that arrow means that you're going to migrate it over to the next day. If it's something that you don't want to do anymore, it ends up being something like a task that's obsolete, you can just scratch it right off. And there's other things that you can layer on top of that. You can add little signifiers to mean like something's important. So like I add stars to stuff, so I know that it's very important for me to do that. Something I need to do today. You can make a little eye for something that you want to like look up. You can, or you can do a question mark for something that you have a question about that you need to go look something up later on, or you need to, or you've asked someone for something and now you need to wait to hear back. An exclamation point is a great thing to say that it's a high priority. But any of these things that you can take or leave to make your journal. And then you can use something very simple like a dash to just write notes. I put everything in my bullet journal. I do not separate it out for, I don't have a separate notebook for work and a separate notebook for my business, a separate notebook for Black Girls Laughing, and a separate, you know, sheet of paper for my house. Everything that is my life goes in this notebook, and it serves as my brain. Because it's easy for you to forget things. We live in a world that we have so many projects, so many things that are stressing us out. And there's just no way to keep track of everything in if it's not in one place. Bullet journal serves as your brain. If you want me to remember something and you don't see me write it down in my journal, I ain't doing it. Simple as that. And so you set it up so you can have an index as well, where you can write down the page number and the topic, so then you can find what you've written in your notebook again and again. Lots of people, like, they want to use like these digital tools because it's easy to find stuff. But if you can't set it up and you don't know how to use an Evernote or a Todoist effectively, you forget about all those different things. So that's the basics of like how to set up a bullet journal. And my first tip for people who are interested in learning more about bullet journaling is going to bulletjournal.com. It has the basics of how to do it. And then my next tip for you is to just get a notebook and get a pen. Just a simple notebook. It could be a notebook that you are already using. That's what I ended up doing. I had a Moleskine that I had bought a couple of years ago that I never really got into. And when I decided that I was bullet journaling, I was like, I'm not going to go buy anything. It's going to stop me from moving forward. I have this thing. Yeah, I've used 10 pages of it. I don't care about those. I'm going to start today and just start bullet journaling. I went through that journal in about 5 months. And now, since I use it so consistently for 5 months, it's like, okay, now I can start talking about those to more about people, because I've been doing it for a while. And it works. It works. It works. It works. So you get your notebook, you get your pen, and you just start doing it. You start doing it every day. I'm looking at my bullet journal right now for my notes. The next thing you want to do is you just want to start off simple. Start off with just adding your daily to-do list to your journal and start getting in a habit of writing out your list and checking your list in the morning, at night, and during the day. Once you get into the habit of doing that, then I invite you to explore the world of bullet journaling. It's a vast freaking world. There are a lot of chicks that spend maybe a little too much time with their journal. Don't let them intimidate you.
At all. Don't.
So you can go on Pinterest, look up bullet, my favorite, Pinterest. You can go on Pinterest and look up bullet journaling. You can go on Instagram, follow me at Bree Hines. I'm talking about bullet journaling all the time on my Instagram. And you can see lots of inspiration of different things you can do, different collections you can add to your book, how you can do a monthly spread, different ways that people set things up. And my next tip for you is to try something. Try it. If it works, keep it. If it doesn't work, tweak it or drop it. Like, it's fine. It's completely forgiven. You don't have, like B was saying, you know, sometimes if you use just a basic planner, you get boxed in into the way that the planner developer has decided to set up months, days, and weeks. And maybe that doesn't work for you. Bullet journaling allows you to customize your journal, your planner experience to what works for you.
Yeah, that's why I started bullet journaling. The flexibility of maybe I do a spread for April and it was okay, so what, the next week in April I can do a different spread, or the next month for May I can do a different month spread. You can change it up every day if you want to.
And as you get inspired of all the different stuff that you can do with your journal, because you're on Pinterest and Instagram and you've joined a Facebook group, don't just start doing all of them. Take a moment and just write them down. I have a spread, a collection in my journal that's ideas of stuff that I could track in the future. And maybe I'm not going to do it today, but once I'm comfortable with what I'm doing and I want to add more, I check that and I'm like, okay, today, this month, I'm going to add a habit tracker. And I'm going to track these three things. I'm actually starting, it's mid-month right now as we're recording this. And I'm going to start a test habit tracker for a few things that I'm thinking about I want to track in July. And I'm going to see how it works by just doing a couple of weeks. I'm not committing to a whole month, but I'm just going to test it out, see how it works. And if it works, I'll do it for July. If it doesn't, F it. I'll move forward. And I'll find something else to do for July. It's all up to you. So my last tip for you is just have fun. Have fun and don't compare yourself to other people.
No, at all.
One of my favorite people that I watch is Boho Berry. She is the queen of bullet journaling. She has a YouTube channel. She's on Instagram. She's got a Pinterest board. She's got a blog that's all about bullet journaling. And she does the most. In her bullet journal, she's tracking her spending, her Etsy store, all of it in one place. I could easily feel inadequate by looking at her stuff, because she's got beautiful doodles and like calligraphy, and she's like really rocking her handwriting. And I write in chicken scratch, but I can see it and I recognize and I can read what's going on. You're not making your journal for other people. Unless you're posting on Instagram. But at the end of the day, you're really only making it for you. And if people don't like what you're doing, who cares? If it works for you, it works for you. So try it out.
Bujo.
It's the best. Hashtag Bujo. Hashtag bullet journaling. Look it up. See the community. find things that work for you. And one last pro tip before we close this. Don't just make to-do lists. Try to just journal a little bit. Take a moment to reflect. I think that was when I really started to care more about my bullet journal, was when I started to just take a moment during the day to just write about how I feel today. To write about my thoughts, my feelings, my concerns. To write about what the things that I am, to show my gratitude for life and living. You know, earlier this episode, we were talking about all the tragedy that's going on. I know I'm going to take a moment today and reflect on that in my journal. And then you have something that you can go back to and read. Because maybe you don't care about a to-do list 2 years from now, but you will want to read about who you were 2 years ago. So go, be happy, bullet journal, stay organized. Woo!
Hey guys, it's B, and I've got a check it for this week. It's been a little bit. So I've been thinking quite a lot about this check it for a while. As you guys know, as I've announced, I started a new job, and it's really great and fulfilling, and I get to do a lot of things I've been wanting to do, have been hoping to do, and I love that. About my job, but there's also a lot of new responsibilities that I haven't had as much experience with, or can be overwhelming. As human beings, we are flawed, so working with other human beings just increases the margin for error or mix-up. And so I've been thinking a lot about moments when I mess up or I flub up, and it really stresses me out. I don't like messing up. I don't like being unprepared. I don't like knowing that I could have done X, Y, and Z to ensure that something didn't happen. And I know most people, hopefully, most people at their job really are just focused on being a good employee and working every day to their best abilities. And sometimes when something goes wrong, you just go home and it makes you feel bad about you, or that you're a mess up or you screw up, or, you know, sometimes you just have those moments where you're just like, I can't do anything right. And I want to remind you guys that you are not your job. At the end of the day, when you leave whatever job you're doing, 9 to 5, whatever your hours are, and you go home and you see your friends and family, that's the person you are. You're the person that you look at every day in the mirror. You are the person that your parents hug or your friends hug, or that likes to drink water or goes running or could eat fried chicken and waffles every day or laughs and milk comes out of their nose or spray paints their hair a different color every day. That's the person you are. You aren't your job. You aren't your boss. You aren't the money you make. You aren't the money you don't make. It's really fun at my job when things get really intense. It's always a reminder of, like, at the end of the day, Indigo's great. It's wonderful. It's an amazing program for the city. But at the end of the day, like, it's bikes and it's your job. It's not you as a human being. It's not your worth. It's not your value. And it's not your self-esteem. So my check it is, you're not your job, and take it. Take that idea, that little saying of whatever it is you do. If you work in fast food, you know, you're not the hamburgers you flipped today or the fries you deep fried. You're not the paperwork you did. You're not the ads you sold, the social media posts you did, the diapers you change, the lawns you mowed. You are still you. That's just your job. And as I always say, take a beat and remember that you're not your job. Your job is not you. You coexist in this world where that just happens to be what you do. So that's my check it for this week. Any thoughts, Brittany?
I've been vibing on this for a bit. I mean, today, this past week, I had a really tough week at work. And the way that I was treated by the people at my job really made me evaluate how important I've put this place on top of my passions and my goals and what and who I am. And I've wrapped myself in the identity of this organization. And maybe it doesn't see me the same way as I see it. And so I've given up on it in many ways. I haven't given up on it, but I've given it less power. That place doesn't have a high priority anymore. And I only have a high priority for the work that I put out and the output that I do because of who I am and what my reputation is. And it's not linked to the organization that I work for anymore. And I know that I can do whatever work that I want to do, regardless of the organization that I work with. And I'm trying to take more ownership of the work that I do and not relate it to the job title and relate it to my passions and who I want the world to remember Brittany as. So yeah, I'm not my job.
You're not. And I like, that was another thing that you triggered a thought of I had in the shower, because that's where all your best thoughts are, of not allowing your job to have power, the power of controlling your self-worth or your value as a human, regardless of your value as an employee, but your value as a person. And when you go home, you shouldn't think less just because something bad happened that day. And it's really hard to do, especially when you're working 40 hours a week or even more than that. It's like so much of your life is spent at this job that you just get so wrapped up in this idea that, oh, this thing I'm doing 9 to 5 every day except for 2 days off is your life. And it's not. And it's not you. And you are not it.
It's sometimes nice to think, like, in a lot of the positions that we hold, we have the privilege of caring about things that in the end of the day don't really matter, that are not going to completely change the way the world turns if it doesn't happen on the deadlines that you've created for yourself. No one's gonna die if the bikes aren't there. if this discount isn't promoted correctly, it might mean less money for us, but it's not the end of the world.
No.
So reflect on that, especially since like this crazy world that we're living in, where life is not valued in the way that it should be. You shouldn't be devaluing yourself because of what happened at your job.
Nope. It's just bikes.
It's just arts and culture.
Take it, use it, run with it. Hashtag, it's just whatever your job is. Thanks, guys.
So let's move on to the fun stuff.
Fun stuff, fun stuff, fun stuff. Yeah, we have a really good giggle cackle roar this week.
Before we do that,
oh shoot,
it's time for the throwback jam of the week.
I was really in my zone about my contribution to giggle cackle roar today.
So I have the throwback jam for this week. And I'm taking us back to 1997. I was just a 10-year-old girl hanging out with my cousin Vanessa, trying to pretend like I was 13 like she was, going to Copley Mall and going to the movies and listen to our favorite music and buying singles. Those, you remember those single CDs? Oh
my God, yes.
That you'd get at like the Tower Records or whatever.
Can't believe you bought any of those.
I bought a lot of those.
I was a full album or bust.
Oh no, I was a broke girl, so I had $3 and I was getting that cheap CD that had two songs on it, the radio edit and the and the regular one. So the song this week is Ladies Night.
Oh, this is ladies' night, and the feeling's right.
Oh, this is ladies' night. Oh, what a night.
Oh, what a night.
Featuring Angie Martinez, Little Kim, Left Eye, DaBrat, and of course, Missy Elliott.
Are you thrown for a loop? This is not the original ladies' night, y'all.
No.
This is revamped and black as hell with some black ass women, and it's the best.
It's so good, but it's so random. This song, you can't find it on like Spotify or Apple Music or Tidal because it was on the soundtrack for a random ass movie from 1997. Nothing to Lose, that featured Tim Robbins, some white man, and Martin Lawrence.
I've never in my life heard of that.
Yeah. And so like I was watching, it's on YouTube. We will put it up on our site and our social media, follow it up. But the video is so much fun. It's just black women having a ball, just like living that like Miami lifestyle. They're like driving in boats, dancing, fine men are around. Everyone is just so cute. I'm like Little Kim with her blonde hair, but like, you know, still brown. And
Jesus Christ.
And DaBrat. And Left Eye Lopez.
DaBrat. Like, where you at, girl?
I think she's in jail.
I thought she was.
Did she get out?
Is she out? I don't know. I haven't heard a report in a while. Usually I would get my play-by-play info from the Reed TBH.
Yeah. But like it's an example of like Missy Elliott loving on the women of hip hop at that time and them all collaborating. And that there's just so many chicks at that time that were just doing the damn thing. It's not like now where it's like Nicki Minaj or bust. No, it was... There were more than one women repping hip hop, and it was beautiful. So that's my throwback jam. Get into it. I love the beginning when Angie Martinez goes, "It's ladies' night. What? It must be Angie on the mic." Like, yes, the butter blee bee, honey, got the sugar, got the spice.
Oh, I love her. Gosh,
it's so good. I mean, what happened to Angie Martinez? I have no idea.
I don't know. We'll have to look that up. We'll report back.
Let me know. I know one of you is like a hardcore stan. Like, let me know. Give me a call. So,
let's move on. Yeah. Now, giggle, cackle, roar. I jumped the gun. I'm not jumping the gun this time. We're good. We're here. What's the giggle?
The giggle is mimosas.
Oh, yes.
We've been drinking them all day.
which is probably why I've been real weird and also scatterbrained.
But they're great. They're helping us on this tough time.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not one to say alcohol solves everything, but, you know, sometimes
sharing it with friends.
Yeah. Not drinking alone in your bedroom.
No, we don't advise that here.
No, but sometimes, you know, pop a little bubbly, pour a little OJ, eat some brunch, hang out, have some fun.
Sunday fun day.
Yeah. We sang some Beyonce, like all of Formation.
Yeah, we eliminated it up.
Yes, we were, yeah, mimosas. I'm so tired right now. Shout out to you, mimosas. We're giggling at you. Thanks for the bubbles.
So our cackle is a clap back to Airbnb. Airbnb while black, hashtag Airbnb while black is a real thing. And in response to that, we've got two companies with the same name, NoirBnB. For the black people who love to travel and need a place to stay. There's two companies, they're coming. They're right now, they have like their teaser pages out, so you can like put your email address in and so you can find out when they start it. And that's gonna be the way I'm gonna be traveling.
I mean, I'm gonna sign up.
I can't wait. I don't know which one's going to be the better one. You know, only one's going to be able to survive. That's how capitalism works. But I'm ready to help the one that I think is the best. So come at us if you need us, if you want a sponsor, you need some advertising, you need to find some black people.
We'll hook you up. If you hook us up. You know,
just some credits. I'll take some credits, some travel credits.
For real, I'm trying to travel noir my way through the world.
Because black people are everywhere, and I would love to stay with all the different black people all over the world.
Like Paris, when I saw the Afropunk Paris on Snapchat, I was like, why am I not there? I was so sad. Everyone looked so beautiful and fun.
I've been looking at a lot of Instagrams of black people in Spain. There is like a whole culture of black people just running Spain.
Oof.
And I want to get there.
Let me get married to one of them, please and thank you.
I was just seeing these pictures of these fine men in these tiny bathing suits just having a good time. And like they probably don't want me, but I just want to hang out and be friends. Just, you know, just be there.
In Spain. Just nonchalant.
Fresh fish, having a good time.
The best
drinking
time.
Drinking all of our drinks.
Ugh. Yeah, NoirBnB. We're excited for both. And we're excited for...
not having to worry about someone not giving me a room just because I'm black. That's what I'm really excited about.
I'm just laughing. You went from like a smile to like not giving me room because I'm butt. I mean,
the truth.
I know, but I loved it. Was like a light switch. It was a beautiful experience. It was like a change in the weather. You missed it. I'm sorry y'all didn't see it. Moving on to the roar for today.
Wow.
The roar. So. We talked previously about, you know, Hillary Clinton, yada, 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 presidents, et cetera, onward and upward, et cetera. And a lot of people have been talking about how this is such a great step for women and feminism and blah, 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 feminism, and we need a woman president. Cool. I agree. We do need a female president. Do I think it's going to should be Hillary Clinton? I'm not going to comment on that. But anyway, she is still not the first woman to have run for president, to have run as a Democrat for the Democratic Party. That would be Shirley Chisholm. She was the first woman ever to run for the Democratic Party's presidential nomination and the first major party black candidate for the President of the United States. In 1968, she also became the first African American elected to Congress. Why are we talking about Shirley Chisholm? Well, because the amazing, the fave, the Tony Award winning Anika Noni Rose is
set, Disney princess.
Yes, is set to produce and star in a film about Shirley Chisholm's life. So I'm lit. We're lit. Everybody get lit. Because one, stop erasing Shirley. Stop erasing her story. She was here first. She changed the game when that black girl dropped on that ballot and being in Congress and being amazing and being a part of a large major party in the United States. Being a woman of color, being black, being educated, being smart. And now we get to see Anika Noni Rose, who doesn't love her? Who doesn't love her? Star in this film and help produce it. And she's everywhere. She's in the Roots reboot. She's in something coming up with BET called The Yard. I mean, Anika Noni Rose is literally always hustling and you don't see her in the huge headlines. But if you are paying attention, she is everywhere. And I'm so excited for this film. I can't wait to watch it. I can't wait to talk about it. I can't wait to see it in development. Lit.
I'm excited. I think it's going to be great. I was really happy that in my social media feed and some of the media outlets that I follow, they brought up Miss Chisholm. Like when Hillary clenched, but not really clenched, but sort of clenched the nomination. And I thought that was great. And I'm really happy that we're not forgetting this part of our history. And there's going to be a movie now.
Yes.
Can't wait. 2018, 2017, whenever it happens, I'll be there.
I'll be there.
We'll all be there. We'll be there together. We'll be holding hands.
Yeah.
We'll be crying.
We'll probably be crying for the whole thing. Similarly to Selma, it was a very emotional experience. But there's so many, I know all y'all are reading everything on Blavity because I am. So there's an awesome article and write-up about her and about Anika and Shirley. And I plan on to keep following this through production, through writing. And I will give you updates when I see them, but hopefully you guys follow along too. That's
Yay!
It.
Yay! We did another episode! Woo! Number 15!
15!
In the can!
How are we at 15? That's crazy.
Girl, weeks just keep on going by.
So, as always, you can find us on the internet, on Twitter and Instagram at BLK Girls Laughing with no G. I see you guys are slowly finding us on Instagram. We're trying to up our game, so follow us, send us pictures, tag us, hashtag Black Girls Laughing. We want to show the world how beautiful you are. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/blackgirlslaughing, our website, blackgirlslaughing.com. Send us an email, blackgirlslaughing@gmail.com.
And shout out to some of our listeners. This weekend, I've gotten a lot of love from people that I've just been running into. So shout out to Megan Williams. I saw you today, last week, yesterday. And you were telling me how much you love the show. We love you.
Yes.
And to the guy that works at Ticket Philadelphia, that laughs in the break room listening to the show.
Yes!
I am all for you.
Yes, let's be friends.
And if you love the show, please share it. Tell your people. You can just go, if you're listening to it on SoundCloud, just reshare it. Let other people know, your followers know that you're listening to it. If you're on iTunes, you can easily share it right from your phone. Same thing with Stitcher. Thank you for anyone for those tweets I've been seeing. I've been seeing them. Thank you. saying, I'm listening to this now and it's great. I love it. Please share. It's the only way we can grow our audience. Word of mouth is the best way. And I haven't asked you guys for a while. Go on iTunes. Leave us a comment. Rate us. Review us. It really helps us. We want more people to be listening to this show.
Yes.
If you got a blog and you be doing, you know, those roundups of podcasts, throw us in it.
Pick us. Choose us. Love us.
You know, do the top five black podcasts you ain't listening to.
I would love to be on one of those lists.
You know? Because, you know, all the ones, the same ones keep on getting a little love. Let's get us a little love.
Yeah, people are already listening to them. We love them. We listen to them.
We talked about them a lot today.
Yeah, we did.
They've inspired us to do what we're doing, but
help a girl out. We want more friends to laugh with us. Thanks.
We love you.
Bye. Bye.
Come on.